Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to an unexpected podcast. So that last episode got just a little bit too long. You'll find out by the end of this coming episode that the SD card is running very low. So we've had to cut the episode into two. Plus, we wanted to feature our friend Travis Sigler from Weird Mead and Leather Works out there in Portland, Oregon. So links to all of his stuff is down in the description. We actually had several listeners buy from his online store right during this very podcast. So if you're interested and you want to support Travis, check out those links down in the description. Okay, with all of that out of the way, let's get into the weirdest conversation we've ever had on this podcast. All right, we have an unknown caller coming in here. I'm not sure what this is going to...
It's got to be Travis, right?
It's got to be, but let's see if I can get him on here. Well, of course. Okay.
Call from. To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys can hear me or not, but give me one second to figure out what's up with this.
Travis, can you hear us, dude? Oh, I don't think you can.
Check, one. Check.
You can hear him loud and clear.
Check, we can hear you, but I don't know if he can hear us, dog.
Oh, no, I'm...
Wait, there you go. I can hear you.
You can hear us? Travis, dude. Travis,
let's... Down a little farther away.
Dude. Hey, welcome to the Hobbit Hotline. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Yeah,
you're doing great, brother. This is Travis. You've entitled this evening. It's can you tell us the title, because I just want to hear it in your voice.
Oh, what was it? An autumn evening in the Shire.
See, look at that, baby. Because Travis is so thoughtful. He's always thinking like, we've been talking about this for like a good 16 months now, I think, at this point. It just hasn't, you know, it's been a while. It's been a long time. And it just hasn't worked out yet, which is fine. That's how life goes. But he was like, I think it was maybe a month ago, and we started talking again, and you were like, dude, let's aim for the week of Bilbo and Frodo's birthday. And I'm like, well, of course, that's this week. This weekend, we've got September 22nd coming right up. And it's like, well, of course. Of course we should do it now. Thank God, Travis, that some of this, I don't know, what's it like in the Pacific Northwest right now? Are you hot out there like it's hot here?
It's been like in the 90s for like a solid month now.
Yep. Us too. It's super dry. Yeah. Are you getting a drought as well?
You're
never in a drought. Are you really?
Well, drought is like a loose word, but I mean, we've had rain like once or twice since like maybe May, June.
Oh my gosh. That's wild.
And for Oregon, you know, being...
Right?
Yeah.
That's very droughty. So, but tonight, finally, I'm outside by the fire. It's cooled off a little bit. As what's it like in the North Farthing? Is there somewhat of a chill in the air?
It's nice and air conditioned. I've got
okay.
The,
well, that's artificial, but I like that. That's good.
You know,
contrived.
I can,
very
I,
good. Very
I do
good.
Have a window open, and I am sniffing the night breeze as it
oh,
comes
through.
Oh,
let's go. I bet you can. Can you guys there smell you my fire from there? I hope so. But
oh,
yeah,
that,
this is.
Do you have a fire going? Well, that's perfect. Awesome.
Yeah, baby, I'm out around it right now.
I have
Travis.
I have one
you
behind
one?
Me here. Yeah.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah. It's see, it's the hearth at Weird because I just finished up a Dungeons & Dragons campaign in here with a couple of friends. So
it's awesome.
Okay. So for I think people have heard versions of the story of the meat hall before, but we were just talking about it because Ez has been there. I have not been lucky enough to be there yet. And I've yet. That's right. That's the imperative term. But I thought to myself, like, I'm looking back over time, and we've really gotten to see, in the amount of time that we've known you, we've seen it, like, only get more and more and more, atmospheric, God, what is the word I used as before? It was, like, actually a good word to describe it. Like, oh, my God, when you're, like, dropped to an place, immersive. Immersive. It's only
gotten more and more immersive.
And I'm like, dude.
Immersive ambiance.
Exactly. That's my man. And just from afar, I was reflecting on that today because I saw some videos and pictures you posted recently. And I'm like, my God, dude, what you have done there, brother, is unbelievable. So can you give people who don't know the story, because are we still on live, Ez? Are we still on
YouTube? We're still live, so we have we got our callers on here, and we've also got
Sweet.
Like up on the screen. I pulled up Travis's website with some images and stuff, just
nice.
Just to tell people what you know, kind of show them what he's talking about here, because it's a beautiful establishment.
Beautiful.
And I love it. So,
can you tell people some of the history, like the inspiration, and like where, as long or short as you want to go, the history of the meat hall, and then also of Weird Meat.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know you guys were. You said you're live on YouTube though. Yeah.
Yeah. Right
oh,
now.
Yeah,
we're, yeah. Yeah. We got.
So I'm gonna pull.
Yeah. So that we're on.
Well, I'm gonna pull it up here. So that way I can
pull it up.
Yeah, you can take a gander.
If you guys are live, then.
Well, it's just me. So like the what
it's
we do
just
is
Ez.
Yeah, it's just
the
me.
Handsome one.
yeah. We want the good looking guy on the show.
Yeah.
But no, because the problem we do the Hobbit Hotline is if anybody pops on here with me alive, Lane can't hear them. So like everything runs through the phone. So that's sort of how we do like the live call-in show thing, because we've thought about having people pop on internationally on here, but then Lane would not be able to hear anybody actually on his end. He'd be like, I'd be sitting here talking to, you know, our guest, and then he'd be like, what'd you guys say? You know what I mean? He wouldn't have, unless there's
right.
a way and somebody knows, but I'm an old tech wizard.
Before I go into that, is this going to be recorded? I mean, I know it's recorded on YouTube.
No, it's
but
it's,
we're uploading it on like
yeah,
your
the
guys' the talking
yes, sir.
And stuff.
Yes, sir. We are.
Oh yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Cool.
Would you expect anything less for you? Would you expect anything less for you, my man?
I don't know.
No.
I didn't know what we were doing. I was like, yeah, I'll hang out with you guys tonight. Like, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So. Ezra, looks like you've got up like the kind of the website on there. We've kind of created an immersive tavern experience for folks. There's even more there you go. A little bit of we've added to that since that picture on the website. So I got to go in there and update it again because we've got more wine barrels. We've got stuff behind the bar now, which is like more barrels and like gold coins on the barrels. And we've got like ropes hanging from the ceilings, vines kind of taking over now, kind of all over the place. So yeah, it's like this whole like medieval fantasy experience. The main goal is, you know, we do handmade leather goods. We make leather armor. We make coasters, just tankard holders, all the stuff you'd find at like Ren fairs, right?
Yeah.
And we also make mead. So our two main things are handmade leather goods and mead. The goal is for people to kind of come into our tasting hall and try some mead, maybe hopefully leave with a bottle and some leather goods. And then, you know, while you're here, you get a whole immersive experience. And I mean, there's so many people now. It's crazy to me. There's so many people in here that they come in here and tell me in person, or they leave comments or leave reviews and stuff of just how much Weird has changed like their life, or is like a positive influence for them, or has given them like a space to be themselves. And that's kind of the real overall goal of what we've been building since, well, you know, I've known you guys since we had a tiny little shop over, it was just a little retail shop, you know, making our leather, making our mead, and just, you guys were giving us the plugs on there. Being like, go check this out. You know, I gotta make more up coasters. It's been a while.
Yeah,
they were just talking about that in the chat. They were just talking. Stanley was talking about
that. Were they really?
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of here.
Yep, they know Travis. They know him.
Oh, he's a legend.
Yeah, I crafted like
in many worlds. Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, we couldn't have gotten this far without our community, you know. It's I mean, it's years of dedication and hard work, and I don't ever really sleep, but you
Dude,
know
Travis, can I
really come it really yeah go
well,
ahead.
Well, just because I on that point, I don't want to forget to say this. I don't think you know this. Ez and I all the time will sit and we'll be talking about stuff. Either we're thinking about grinding on something, or we're getting after it, and we will literally just we'll say to each other, Travis is the hardest grinder we know of.
Yep.
Like someone who just purely, I mean, we talk about like
never quits,
like purely does something out of passion and desire and love for something. So it really is like we talk about you even when you don't know we're talking about you. I mean, it's something that like I honestly I think it's inspiring, because I think a lot of times I mean, dude, how many like weird hauls or I'm not weird. I mean, well, you're a weird haul, but like how many mead hauls are out there? Like not I don't know any in Ohio. You'd probably have to search long and hard to find even a place that has mead on their alcohol menu, right? So yeah. So I think to myself, like to find something like that, to be so passionate about it, and out of just like hard work, will, passion, love, to create something. Like I love when people create something from nothing, like literally just from a thought or an imagination or an experience or an interest, and like nobody can tell them. And like, because like with you, like your personality and your desire for that is infectious. And it literally becomes its own kind of like advertisement, where, like you said, people go, maybe it's on a whim. Maybe it's like, they're just looking for wild things they've never done before. They find you guys, they have an experience, right, and it's something they never forget. So yeah, keep going. But I just wanted to give you that
behind the scenes look. Appreciate
that.
Thank you.
Time, man. Yeah.
that's really heartwarming. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, it really comes down to our community. Like everybody all the time says like, oh, you did this, you did that, you did, you know, you've created this, you've given this. And I'm like, I always kind of stop people. I'm like, we've created this. We've, you know, you got to stay humble and just keep pushing forward. And you know, yeah, this is my space, but it's also it's everybody's, you know. It's like I said, it's a place where people can come out on a Wednesday night. If you want to dress up like an elf or a pirate, or I've seen full orcs. I've seen, witchers. Game of Thrones, it's everything, you know, and you know, people are just having a good time. I've seen multiple people get engaged here. I've seen birthdays, going away parties, 2-year D&D campaigns. I've seen finale D&D games. There's so many different perspectives and so many different memories that are being created, and it's spider webbing out, right? So it's creating memories for these people too, on top of me. But, you know, like my friend's daughter, she's been coming here since she was, I mean, he was carrying her, right? She was just a baby. And then now she's, I don't know, she's like four, five, probably some of like around the age of laying your kids. Yeah. Some of them. And she calls this place the magic. You know, she comes in here.
Gosh,
she's like, "Oh, I want to go see Travis and go to the magic." And like, she's been calling it that. And she comes in here and one of the last times she dressed herself and she was a mermaid, right?
Oh, wow.
And she's going up to these other people at these other tables dressed as elves, and she's like, "You came to the magic too?" And like, you know, she's just having
so
like
cool.
You know, so she's gonna have these memories of going here with her mom and dad, you know. I gave her a D20. We were in the shop side, and I gave her a little you know, she really reminds me of like a little hobbit, right?
Sure.
So like, you know, like Sam's you know, daughter or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I gave her a dice, and I was like, "Okay, like you keep this in your pocket. Like, don't eat it. Yep. Don't do anything with it. You know,
it's
a dice. We roll it on the table. We play the game." And so she goes through the whole night. She puts it in her pocket. She goes home, and I get a text from her dad, and he's like, "Here's a conversation between me and the daughter, right?" And she goes, Travis gave me an appetizer." And then her dad was like, what? And she was like, "He gave me an appetizer." And he was like, you mean the pretzel? Like, because we have like soft pretzels and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like, "No, he gave me an appetizer, a magic appetizer." And she pulls out the D20. And I was like, "Oh my God."
Dang.
So it's just memories like that, you know, things like that that have created. I was in here a couple months ago with Bobby from
Bobby
from
Wright. Up. That's right.
Old
friend.
Yep.
Yes.
He made a trek all the way from Seattle. He was doing a Seattle trip or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, "I know you guys close at 9 or you guys close at 10. But like, I'm making the trek down from Seattle, and I've only got these 1 hours, you know. I probably wouldn't be getting there until like 9:45, and I know that's like 15 minutes before you close.
Awesome,
is that good? Like, are you like, can we hang for like 15 minutes?" And I was like, "I got these magic keys that let me stay here for as long as we want, you know." Like, if you're making
so
trek
polite.
Here,
yes, yeah,
yeah, like as you know, longtime supporters of the UP community and. You know, stuff like that. It's, you know, you make these memories with people, and that's, I think, what the core importance of our creation and everything. And it very much comes down to, like, you know, the Shire, like Hobbiton,
mm-hmm.
the heart of a hobbit. So,
wow,
yeah.
That's beautiful, man. How cool too. Like I saw that Bobby was out there and came and saw you. And I just like, man, what a great. I love when I see people that either like we've known in our own personal lives or that we've known through whatever community it is, get together and meet. And it's just such a cool, that was really heartwarming to see that. That was awesome. And I know he loved it. I mean, I saw him raving about what you've created. And so again, it's just something that people see and they.
And Jim.
Yeah. And they really, I don't know. It makes a huge impact. So I wanted to, because I don't know if I'm sure you've told us this at some point, but I've probably, it's just lost in the ambled part of my brain, which is 99% of it. How did you get into mead? Like what, like, is this something that you had at a Ren Faire once, or like did one of your parents drink mead? Like what was the gateway to what I feel like is a very antiquated and very, like, not antiquated in a bad way. Just like, I feel like it's something that used to be much more widely drank, like, especially like in Europe, right. And everything in England, but something
right.
that is now of such a specialty. Like, how did you get into the world of being a meaderist? Is that the right? word? That's probably not even a word.
I think the older term is called a methier.
Oh God, that's so. Oh yeah,
kind of funny because it sounds like meth.
Something.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird variant of that.
Yeah.
For me, it was, you know, you guys kind of know, like I started doing leather work and I was doing cosplay, making armor pieces, and I still do that. And then my buddy and I, we started making mead in the closet because we enjoyed the beverage. It's hard to find, and we would do like these like medieval barbecues and
so cool.
So we just started creating it, but like I think for me, like mead, I've known about, I mean, probably even in my high school earlier, maybe because of Middle Earth and Tolkien and Beowulf, like all these, like it basically comes from like the fantasy side of things for me, at least, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't always. I mean, mead. So mead is the world's oldest alcoholic beverage. It predates wine and beer. It was very prominent in Europe, but it also comes from, I mean, anywhere that they had honey, right? So I mean, like in Ethiopia, there's a drink called Tej. It's honey wine, kind of, although us mead makers are trying to get it petitioned to be kind of its own thing. Because it's different than wine, right? You know, the best way to describe it is a honey wine, and sometimes we have to put honey wine on the labels just due to laws and regulations and stuff, depending on your state. But yeah, mead is kind of its own thing, and there are meaderies out there that don't really dive into, you know, the super fantasy side of things or the Viking Scandinavian side of things. But for me, at the core, it's everything I grew up with. Fantasy, escapism, you know, diving into books, diving into movies and shows and stuff like that. That's kind of where we just kind of took it, you know? And we really started making it out of demand, right? Because it was hard to find mead, and it's hard to find good mead. And so my buddy Taylor and I, we started weird, and we started doing leather and we started making mead, and that's just, and then I've always been like, okay, well, if we're going to start a business, I want it to be, we're a business, you know, at the core and at the front, but I want it to be a community. I want it to be something much bigger than just a business. And that's how now we have, I mean, we literally have people all over the world. We have people in Bulgaria. We have them in Europe, Canada, Australia. We call everybody like our warriors of weird, our warriors of weird is everybody who supports us, and who, whether you're a person sharing us over there, whether you're a regular who comes in here every week, maybe you ordered some t-shirts and you're repping us out there, you know, it's like your uppers, right? You know, it's just our big community. And there's a lot of crossover between the heavy metal community and the Ren Faire community, because I'm in like both of those.
That's like a great streamlined backstory. That's awesome, dude. I remember when you and Taylor would, and you probably still do this, but when you guys would kind of like do live streams when you were brewing like a batch of mead. And I just remember thinking it was just so, I mean, just seeing the kind of behind the scenes work, you know, also like seeing the progress and the upgrades you've made from, like, I remember when you got those giant vats, right? In that brewing room when you got those in. Dude, yeah, you got those in. And I remember, like, you guys getting the floor just right and having to meet code and everything. Yeah. I love too how you've been so transparent about like the process of doing something like that. I think because I don't think I mean I guess a lot of people do. I don't think a lot of people do it. I mean, maybe I'm not like tuned into it or whatever, but like to see, I mean, I remember you chronicling everything, like got to pass this inspection, got to get this ready. This has to be up to standard before we can open the hall. Like, I remember those days very vividly.
Right.
And tuning in and, and you guys playing music, you guys talking and just watching you guys make the liquid gold was so cool. So I wanted to ask, like, how much, so again, it is a small community of creators of mead, I would assume. How much like dialogue or collaboration or whatever do you have with other mead makers? Is that something that's a part of your business as well? Do you have other certain meaderies that you are in constant contact with or that you're friends with, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, the mead community is already so small.
Yeah.
So like even at our hall, like as has been here, like there's guest meads on our menu. So like I've brought in, you know, we highlight our stuff obviously, and our bottles, and we only sell bottles of our stuff. But we do glass pours and like flights and stuff. And there's a few other meaderies that I have on, Hierophant being one of them. They're up in Washington. You know, Jeremy and Michelle, they're great people, and they make everybody's mead is different, which is kind of cool. Because my mead isn't their mead isn't my mead. So yeah, there's a competition aspect, right? But at the same time, like I've never felt super competitive about that, because I'm just going to do my thing, right? I'm going to make our mead like how our stuff is, and they're going to make their stuff, and people are either going to like it or they're going to dislike it. And what I like to do is, you know, showcase some guest meads, some other small meaderies and stuff. And it really gives people an idea of, you know, everybody's taste buds are different. So if I'm only over here making roughly semi-sweet things and they're only over there making dry stuff, you know, somebody might try mead for the first time and they might try like, you know, the other meaderies stuff that might be super dry. Right. So they go in there and they're like, ooh, I don't like mead because of this. Right. And we're like, okay, no, you just like, you might not like dry meads. Well, here, try this. This is a semi-sweet, or this is a sweet mead, or this is a, maybe you only like meads that are drier with teas, or maybe you only like them that are like sweet with fruit, you know? It's a whole palate game. And I like to be able to kind of offer that, especially when we're getting so many people coming in here who have never had mead before. I want them to leave with a good experience. Even if they don't like my mead, I want people to know about the beverage, and I want people to have a good time in here. And if my mead isn't for them, then hopefully we've kind of helped them get an idea of what mead is and how many different varieties are out there. There's a mead out there for you. Like,
dude, you're like an
anybody
advocate.
Who says that there's no mead, like they don't like mead, is they just haven't had what's for them yet, you know?
So I love that you're like an advocate or like like a promoter of mead itself. Like you're not just like your focus isn't just having people drink your mead, it's finding the right mead for them. I think that's probably pretty unique as well. I mean, that's incredible thing to know about, you know, if people are planning a trip to go see you, or if they're close by and haven't gone to the weird mead hall yet, that you're not just getting Travis's creations. You can sample all kinds of like a whole variety of meads. That's incredible, man.
I've done it myself, and it was awesome. Lottie and I really.
What did you call? What did you call it?
I called it a flat.
A flat, not a flight.
flat, whatever it was. I was like, I drink a lot, you know. But yeah, you got that for us, and I was like, man, yeah, there was different tastes and stuff. It was really cool and really unique, and we had fun just sort of trying different things. And I know we bought a couple bottles of your guys' stuff, and it's just like, it was so good. I kind of thought, man, I wish this was like the first. You go back to your like first sip of alcohol when you're growing up, and you're like, I don't know, I wish this would have been my first sip, you know, because it was so much better.
Yeah.
But
You know, there are meads that I don't start people on to. So like, oh, I just saw some of the comments in here. Oh, Victor Crumb from Harry Potter. That's my buddy Stan. Yeah. You just ordered three bottles, Steven. Thank you.
Oh, good. Love Steve, that. Let's
sorry,
go,
I'm,
baby.
I'm getting like, sorry, I opened up the YouTube thing and I'm like, oh, hey. Like, oh, hey.
Oh, yeah.
So there are some that are like, we just made a banana mead that's aged on oak barrels.
Oh, my God, and bro. Like, you're speaking my
people
language.
Are like, what's this one called? I'll have to send you guys some.
Oh, I would love that. No, let us buy some. Is it on your website yet?
I don't think I have that one up just yet. Okay. We just kind of released it not too long ago in the hall.
Okay.
And it's in small bottles only because sometimes I experiment, right? So, like, I'm only doing it in, like, the tiny bottle just in case it's not that great. Yeah,
if you send us some, I'll get you some money because I would love to try that. That sounds incredible.
The banana one, people were like, what's this one called? And I was like, it's called Oh Banana. And they're like, Oh Banana? I'm like, yeah, I played a lot of Donkey Kong 64 growing up as a kid. And whenever you got a banana, it would say, Oh Banana. Yeah. And so like the shield color changes on all of our bottles.
Yeah.
And so this one we made it like, it's a bee, right? With the Viking shield. And so the shield part of it, we made it look like a barrel. And then behind the B, instead of DK, it says WM in the red and gold, like Donkey Kong. Oh,
that's so cool, man.
We have fun with our labels.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask about that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask, you can roll right into this. I just wanted to know, like, the inspiration behind each different, like, because you always have great themes with your... with your meads, and then also like, how do you come up with ideas? Do you just do research? Do you trial things? Like, how do you? What's the creative process of like landing on a mead variety?
So usually, kind of what I do is I'll take like our semi-sweet traditional, right? It's our flagship flavor. It's just honey. Uh-huh. We use local Oregon honey. Which is usually like a blend of wildflower blackberry honey. And then from there, what I'll do is I'll be like, these flavors sound good, right? I'm going to try this. So I'll take our semi-sweet traditional that's already done and it's ready to go. And then I'll just, I don't know, I'll mix mangoes and strawberries or whatever into it, like, you know, like the juice or whatever. And then I feel like I can get a kind of an idea of like what a flavor like that would taste like. And then from there, you know, you create the actual flavor.
So you use that one as your base and you build off that. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, to just to kind of, I mean, when I'm coming up, right, with ideas, so I'm not wasting a lot of mead. It's like, it's only a couple of, like maybe a bottle's worth, right? And I'll just kind of mix and play around with things. Or recently I took some of our semi-sweet and I aged is a loose word, but like I aged it a little bit on lavender and black tea. So stuff like that, and right now I'm playing around with the chili peppers. So
hot mead.
There's a mead, like a raspberry habanero kind of thing going on.
God, as we needed that for Hobbit ones.
So
yeah, that one for Hobbit ones. You can hear it.
Challenge. My gosh,
you hit the spot.
What a good idea, man. Well, because that's like the whole hot honey thing. You're playing off hot honey. That's genius.
Oh my God. When I tell people that there's like never ending, like, well, there's so many different directions you can go with it.
Yeah.
It kind of, I mean, there's so many different things you can do, right? Like we've aged them in whiskey barrels. We did like that oak banana one. I've got a delivery, so we're about to go into fall, right? So speaking of like Hobbit, yes, rhubarb is a great, I was talking about doing a strawberry rhubarb one. So it is fall and there is a farm out here. It's called Savi Island because it's like on a little island in the middle of like the Columbia or Willamette River kind of near us. Big, it's a big enough. They have like pumpkin patches out there. And during the fall time, they have a, they have their pumpkin patch and their haunted corn maze. But the apple orchards out there also, when you go out there for like the corn maze, they have jugs of this, they have jugs of this fresh pressed apple cider. Right?
Oh, come on.
So what I do is I get the apple cider, and we make what's called a cider. It's a mead made with apple cider, and it's called our magic apple. And that was actually one of the flavors that was Billy's, Billy and Dom's favorite.
That's right.
They really, really loved the magic apple and our pomegranate and blackberry, those two flavors.
Can we talk about that? Because that was on the Friendship Onion, right? You were on an episode, weren't you?
Yeah. Billy brought me on, and he's been supporting and following us since like day, just like you guys, like since like day one, right?
Dude, how cool! And is that, like if I had to pick one member of the Fellowship, and I don't know any of them personally, but if I had to pick one to be like a friend with, it would be Billy Boyd, hands down. Even Viggo Mortensen in the mix, I think it would be too real. I would love to have Billy Boyd's phone number in my phone, like just to go, hey, check out this real bro. It's hilarious. Like he'd be the one.
He's such a nice guy. Like he, I mean, like I got a, what was it on Christmas or New Year? It was just like a message from Billy being like, you know, like I think it was like Happy New Year. It might have been Happy New Year. He's like, Happy New Year, Travis. Like hope everything's going great, and blah blah blah, like that kind of stuff. You know, he is like they're so nice. And when they brought me on there for that, I was just like, this is so cool. And I still get people coming in here who are like, oh, we saw you guys on the Friendship Onion, or we heard you heard about you on there, you know. Even today, like, you know, there's still some every once in a while somebody floating in here being like, oh hey, like I found out about you guys and I'm finally making it here because of the podcast. And I'm like, that's so cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, that's the cool thing about podcasts too, is like you put these episodes out there and they live out there. Like Ed and I talk about that all the time. Like we'll get messages from people like now who are like, hey, just found your guys' podcast. I'm on episode 4. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. I'm like 8 years behind, but thank you for, so that's the cool thing, is like people will continue to find you through, especially, you know, something that you got two hobbits sitting there, talking to you, drinking with me. That's so cool. Okay. So I did want to ask about one thing. This might be a little bit of a tangent, but there was talking about flavors, talking about inspiration. There was one that you talked about when you sent us a few bottles. I don't know if it's come out. I've sort of fallen off out of the loop, but there was one you were playing around with that had to do with, and if I need to edit, if you need to bleep me out, bleep me out.
Yeah.
Second breakfast. Has this one happened yet? Is this,
go ahead.
Okay. Has second breakfast happened? Is it going to happen? When is it happening?
Second breakfast. So my friend Steph, she started a book club kind of thing, Discord, when the Friendship Onion was going out, and she was doing the art for the Friendship Onion. Every episode, and she did like fan art of me with Billy and them on there. So cool. I've actually commissioned the art for Second Breakfast from her already. It's ready to go. Like everything is good. It's I'm still waiting on. I really need to message Billy and get final confirmation on that. There's just been so much going on this year, but. Second breakfast is one that we're going to do, and it's a mead made with maple syrup and apple cider and maybe some vanilla beans in there.
Because I think, Travis, I think this one,
it's not out yet.
This will be the one mead to rule them all. Like when you first told me about this one, and I remember now the extra like little cherry on top with the art and the artist and everything. But I was like, oh my God, I would drink that if it was an old milk bottle on the side of the road. I would throw that down my gullet, and I would sing sweet songs to Tom Bombadil, and I'd probably try to, you know, seduce my goldberry in ways that I can't even explain on this podcast. You say maple syrup, and my ears stand on end, the hair on my feet.
Listen,
and I get a little bit of Randy in me.
You do, yes, but hey, no, Stanley and everybody over on the online want you to take this same excitement and they want you to apply it to Rings of Power. I think you watching Rings of Power on some weird, you know, some weird.
Oh,
need,
that would be.
That'd be
yes.
the show. That'd be the way to go.
We should try that for the finale.
You know?
Let's do that for the finale. Let's see if Travis can get us a small batch for the finale. No pressure, Travis. I will drink that. But like, no, that's my favorite. So I think maple syrup. So little. It won't be a secret now, but my secret ingredient for my like my chili, that Sarah. I mean, she might just be saying it because she loves me, but she loves my chili. And fall time, we get into soup season. God, it's the best. But my secret ingredient for my steak chili is I put 4 tablespoons of pure maple syrup in there, and my Lord, it just does. Maple syrup just elevates. You take something normal, and it's like putting that Miravir. You know, like that elven drink they drink. Remember that, Ez? Like the Miravir, the elvish water. It's just like putting a little secret element in there. That God. So when you explained that need, I was like, oh, Travis, if I somehow I die before this happens, you better find my ashes and just douse it in this meat, because I will know if it's there.
That's awesome.
That's such a cool.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's the chili.
Yeah, like I would try that. Like that.
Okay, so whenever
I'm always down for like the weird stuff, you know.
Hell yeah! Obviously, whenever we get together, whenever that happens, however, wherever it happens, I'll find a way to make you some of my steak chili, and I hope it doesn't disappoint. But yes, for sure.
I need to come out to Ohio. I've wanted to go out there.
Hey, next year.
There's a lot of different people out there.
Yeah.
So
are you guys doing the thing?
We're talking about it.
Yeah, we're thinking about having some of your meat out there too. I was about to ask you if we, you know, I was like, if we do it, like we might. I mean, that would be crazy. I guarantee people would buy it because, you know, like I don't know how we get it here, but I mean, we'll I don't know. Like, it would just be cool to have.
Because
we're thinking
about
having we're thinking about having a big LEP event next Hobbit Day next September. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know you guys were doing that before, like the pandemic hit, and I was like, "Oh, cool! I'm gonna make it to the next one." And then the next one, like
never
the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
Damn it!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that would be amazing. I mean, that would be. Yeah, we're trying to think of like who, because I don't know. You wonder like as I sit and we talk about it, we've always kind of said like the LEP3, the LEP that never happened. Like, would people still be interested? Right. Would people still come? Who would be able to make it, you know, if we could give people enough time to plan who could come together, because there's so many people still that we haven't, you know, people who we know through this thing that we haven't met yet, and it would be that'd be an amazing experience. So yeah, if you get out here, I'll make a giant if we do LEP3 and you get out here, whatever, but if that's when it happens, I'll have a giant soup pot full of my maple syrup chili, steak chili for you to have. Nice.
We'll have to cook with it too. Cook with the mead.
Oh,
you can use
God.
It as a marinade on like meats and stuff.
Oh my
and,
God.
And even
bro.
I've used it in soup bases too. So speaking of that, like, but,
God.
So if we do this, you know, we're going to have to bring some of that mead out and actually like marinate some of these different meads and different ones and stuff like that. Make a feast.
God, we'll have to literally tell people too, like, what we're making here, we can never make again, because it will dishonor what we've created here. This day, like, we're gonna cast these recipes into the fire and only keep them for ourselves. Like, dude, that's awesome. I didn't even think about that. So that is something I love. Like, a soup or like a meat that's marinated in wine, or even like you throw beer into a chili. Like, there's something about alcohol that, like, when you put it in, like a great mulled wine. I didn't even think about cooking with or marinating with meat. That's it's what a versatile dish. You know, I always think about like I always think about the Ridley Scott's Robin Hood, and Friar Tuck is like he's all about is mead, isn't he? Come have my mead. You come in here, my bees, they give me mead, and my mead makes me happy. You know, it's just like there's something about it that it really does warm your, it warms you down to the toes. It's a beautiful drink. So, yeah.
There's a, we make a few different, like, we make blackberry, right? We make aronia berry, which is also known as a chokeberry. We recently made Dream of Dionysus, which is our Muscat Blanc white grape meads. So, like, think like Moscato grapes. They're used in wine, but we used it in mead. So, it's like a mead made with grapes. So, it's kind of like a mix. But those different ones, you mentioned pork belly. And if you've ever gone to like Korean barbecue or something like that, and you get that wine marinated pork belly, I've done that same exact like cut and everything, and I've used a few of our different meads, but used it as instead of the wine, use that, and then you do like on some of them you can do like a little bit of like a brown sugar like glaze coat on top of that. It's so good.
As did he just kick you out of ketosis?
Dang, dude,
because I'm feeling all kinds of shaky.
Yeah.
I am ready to go.
Gotta rush, dude.
Yeah.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
So, listen, if this happens, we're going to find a way to make some of these, to showcase mead in all of its different forms. That's beautiful. Absolutely.
All-time mold mead, too. We make it hot. It's like a hot mead with, like, apple cores and orange peel in there, and you serve it hot. Like, it's so good.
Because, see, mold wine is one of my favorite things to have in the fall. Like, Halloween time, we've got in the house, well, Sarah and I will make a pot of mold wine. You know, you throw the spices in there. Oh, it's fun. So I can't even imagine.
Same thing.
Mold mead. I would think that would probably be just another level. Okay, dude, so you said... You said it's been a busy year. Talk about, if you want to, talk about stuff that's going on, like, because we haven't even touched your leather craft yet and all the things that you do. I mean, like, if people want to go check out Travis's if they want to go check out your Leatherworks, what's the best like account to go? Because I know you have a few different Instagram accounts. What's the?
Yeah, it would probably just be the weird one, like on the weird website.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
From there, it can take you to some of our link trees and stuff. So like weirdleatherandmead.com. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I didn't know what we were going to talk about tonight. So
no, yeah, but, yeah, yeah, we're showcasing
Tolkien,
you.
Whatever we can talk about.
Whatever you want to talk about.
What's your favorite? All poems, leather, hobbits. We were talking about food, so that's already hitting the hobbit mark there.
whatever but, you want. So just tell people where you can tell them a little bit about the leather, because I want people to. Because we have a lot of listeners who, I mean, they probably obviously a lot of them like Steven. You know, newer listener knows who you are, but like people who might be, maybe they click on this most recent episode, they have no idea the backstory for Travis Sigler. And I want people to be able to check out all the stuff you've done. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I started making leather goods, probably 2013, I want to say, about a decade now. The ironic part was, is the first project I was making Faramir for my cosplay, and I still wear it. Wow. I still have that same armor. I've made Eomir's, I've made Eowyn's armor twice. I've made Theoden's armor. The Theoden one was great because it was kind of like a long, long process in secret, for a good friend of mine, Jack Blair.
Yes,
He goes by Trixie Lights Cosplay. I think he recently commented on an Instagram thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, listen to this. Like, they've seen your armor and stuff. And
yes, we've seen Jack. Didn't Jack also, wasn't he also a snake or something, I want to say? He did play cosplay snake one time.
Okay, so, yeah. So if you look at Trixie Lights Cosplay on, he's just now getting into Instagram, but if you go to like the Facebook page, Trixie Lights Cosplay, and you look at some of that stuff, he's like, you know, I first met him as Faramir at Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, and somebody told me there was a Theoden walking around, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to find this Theoden because it's the same one I saw in the newspaper for Portland.
Wow.
There was a Tolkien birthday celebration, right? And I didn't go, and I saw this, and there was no name credit, and I saw this Theoden cosplayer, and I was like, that dude looks just like Theoden. I need to befriend him. I need to know who this is. And then that was, I mean, almost a year later. And then I was at Emerald City, and somebody was like, yeah, there's a Theoden walking around here. I don't think he knows about our big group meetup. And then when we found him, we were all up on these steps we were doing a big group picture. I used to host, when I was going there, I would host a big Middle Earth cosplay group. It's actually how I met Leia, Leia. She's also an upper.
Griffiths?
She does a lot of like awesome art. Yeah. She was just here like last weekend for Rose City Comic Con because she lives not so far away.
That's so cool.
And she's been putting art in my shop for a long time too. So that's how I met her. She was part of that big Middle Earth Tolkien group thing too. But, so at Jack, we were on the steps and we were taking this big group picture, and he was, you know, he comes walking out, you know, we had just started and he comes walking out of there, and I'm just like, oh my God. And so like, I go down the steps, you know, I'm full Faramir, right? Like I've got the armor, the cloak, the wig, and like everything. And then I just go up to him and I'm like, I finally found you. And he was just like, what? And then and that's how we met. And now to me, he's like, he's my uncle, you know, he's part of our cosplay family. You know, we've been going to so many different Comic Cons. I was just wandering around with him at Rose City Comic Con last weekend or the weekend before. And, you know, it's become like a family. And so he cosplays Snape. He cosplays Barbossa, old Bilbo, Slughorn. He just did President Snow from Hunger Games.
Oh, cool.
He did Walder Frey and Filch because he has both. They're like both the same kind of character.
Yeah.
So if you look at these cosplays that he does, he's like a freaking chameleon. Like his Barbossa is insane. It looks just like
Jeffrey Rush.
I'm spacing it. Jeffrey Rush. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does Gandalf, Théoden.
Oh, wow.
And so we made in secret this Théoden armor for him, like armored Théoden, right? Because he had the cloth version. And so my buddy Keith and I, we worked in secret for probably like 3 months. We kept track of it. I still have a documentary I need to upload about making that suit.
That's so cool.
And so we, you know, I have a bunch of different friends who work at Weta Workshop. And so I was talking to Daniel, Warren, like Daniel Falconer, and just all these people. And they were able to get us, like, I can't share it online. Like, don't share this.
Yeah.
So it's Théoden's armor from when they were shooting the two towers, and it's like the test press photos. So it's just the armor with like white backdrop. Every angle, right? So it's like every different angle, like top down, the greaves, the bracers, the pauldrons, all these different things. And then so we took all of these images and then we applied it to paper where we were my buddy Keith's an awesome artist, and we were like drawing all of these designs. And then from there we were transferring them into like the tracing thing for the leather, and then hand tooling and everything into this whole entire armor set. And we did at the old shop, we did a Lord of the Rings trivia night, which was actually a cover up for an armor reveal for Jack. And
wow,
we played, we were like, oh yeah, we got to play this video. And then, so we played this video and it was just all of us in different bits of us making a video of like how we met Jack, what he means to us, like all that kind of stuff. And then it goes into the scene of Théoden riding back and forth. And as soon as they blow the horns, we turned on all the lights and we rolled out this armor for him.
Gosh,
and he was just like,
dude,
shocked, like, you know. And it was just like, he was like, no, 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 no. And we made this like throne for him, which still sits over here in Weird by the tree beard. I think Ez might have seen that throne.
Yeah, yeah. Sick.
But and you got to see the armor. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And then from, you know, so that was like cosplay leading up to kind of more recently. But I was making tons of armor, for friends and stuff. They were having me commission stuff. Some of it has now made it to like the show Vikings, Valhalla, just like different friends on different set pieces. There's a new How to Train Your Dragon show coming out, or a movie coming out, live action, that some of that's going to be on there. But I'm trying to get my stuff more into film world of things, but it's a hard industry, and it's hard to, with everything else I'm doing too, you know, it's just, I don't get much time to craft as I would like. Just because I'm so exhausted all the time. And then whenever I do have sparks of energy to craft leather works, it's like 2 a.m. when I'm laying in bed. I'm like, God, why? Like, you know,
come on, muse, find me at a better time.
And I'm like, I could go on like Mondays when we're closed, because that's, you know, then nobody's going to bother me, and I can just put on some tunes and just start hamming out bracers and greaves and all sorts of stuff. To answer Steven's question, yeah, we did up themed coasters a while ago.
Yeah.
I want to say
we gave them
I think that's still on the
people on. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it was on the website. If it isn't, it should get that back up there. We had a whole website revamp, so it might have accidentally gotten dropped down. But I still get people, speaking of what you were saying, Lane, about people coming into the podcast, right? Like, like now from like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. I'll get people being like, hey, like they'll send like an email or something, and they'll be like, hey, like I just started this podcast, and
is the up weird code so good
about these up coasters. I'm like, can I get one? I'm like, oh yeah, like here's this like invoice, and I'll tool it up and ship it or whatever.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so speaking of that, we do still occasionally get that kind of. So it just proves to show that you guys are creating something that is literally going to live on forever. Like it will be around, you know.
Yeah. Cool. I think it's
something
that same,
you're
listening
to. Like,
dude, for sure. Sometimes I get scared because I think my kids are going to actually listen to this someday. They're gonna be terrified. My dad was a madman. Uncle Ez was all right, but geez, my dad was insane. No, I think Ez and I always talk about that too. When we've thought about like different, we've had, you know, business meetings or whatever, quote unquote business meetings, where we talk about what we want to do, like moving forward. What do we want to cover? How often do we want to record? You know, because for a while, man, for a while we were doing, I think we did like 6 months of our big episodes, which some people call bloated, other people call full, of like, you know, 3.5 hours.
I like them
weekly.
Yeah.
See, I know, and people like you appreciate them, and those are the people that were, you know, I mean, those are the people we're talking to mostly, I think. But you know, we've had times where we think like, you know, what's the next move? What do we do next? And we always come back to, we got to stay true to each other. We got to make sure that we're having fun, that comes through, because I think really we've talked to so many people, man.
That's the important part.
Exactly. And it's the same thing that you've done. It's the same thing you're talking about. It's the reason I love passion projects so much. I feel like, I mean, if you look at what Peter Jackson did, I mean, sure, there's a ton of people and he built an industry and he put a lot of work in before the Lord of the Rings, but dude was an underdog. Dude, mm-hmm. When people found out Peter Jackson was making Lord of the Rings in New Zealand, people rolled their eyes. You know, it was like, it was before fantasy had kind of become, like a stereotype and a joke in terms of like a wide acceptance. Right. And he was
right.
Someone that most people didn't know unless you were into films. And yeah, I mean, he did something that, I love that quote from the appendices, the, Costa Botez footage where he and Andrew Lesney are talking about, this is the biggest, low budget movie in the world. And Peter Jackson says, this is the biggest low budget movie in the Wellington area. It's just like, it's just so funny that they literally had this gold on their hands, but they didn't see it. And like, even all the actors, I mean, you hear them talk about how they got the role. They treated it with respect. They came in, they bonded, and it's almost like they were, when you go to New Zealand, you feel isolated anyway. I think, I said something like, New Zealand is as close as you can get to heaven without dying. It's like this, it's this weird. Yeah. Like you go out there, man, right? Yeah, dude, you go out there and you get this like, tangible sense that you are actually in the middle of nowhere. Like, yeah, I've never experienced it anywhere else in the world. I've been a few places, not everywhere, but I've been a few places, and it's the only place I thought like, no, we are actually thousands of miles from anything else. I mean, Australia is close enough, but still, other than that, like we're in the middle of nowhere, and it's the most beautiful remote place in the world. But anyway, just the fact that I totally lost my train of thought. I don't even know what was I rambling about.
Once Ling is going on New Zealand, he's sort of like he's gone. He's sort of like bye bye. He like gets to know New Zealand.
I get kind of lost. Oh, but I said it was like the closest you can get to like the afterlife without dying, because it has this kind of eerie quality to it. That's it's beautiful, but it almost feels like you've crossed over to another like dimension or plane. Man, I'm sure there's some comments. Right. Steve, what kind of comments you leave? I'm staying positive. But
positive. Hey, if
go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, just as a disclaimer before I run out of tape, the SD card has 18 minutes. Just so you guys know.
No, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm not even kidding you. Oh, we're at 3 hours and 45 minutes. We've been on here. So
holy crap. Okay, so we got. Yeah, so I'm gonna start. I'm done talking.
No, I'm just letting you guys know because it'll the SD card's about to run out. So, but yeah, okay. No, Travis, pick up your thigh. You just want to give you guys a timeline here. Sorry. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's I agree about New Zealand. It's definitely definitely a place that I draw a lot of inspiration to, and I think back to a lot as well.
Yeah.
If I wasn't so tied up here, I would have probably moved there a long time ago.
So can we talk a little bit about, cause I think, talking about how hard it is to get your stuff like into cinema, into TV. I can totally imagine. I'm sure that it's like, it's especially as like an artist who does something out of like love and attention to detail and everything, it's probably even harder. But I remember when Rings of Power was kind of forming their team. And I will honestly say, man, I think that there've been a lot of people who criticize like the way stuff has looked. And I think if they should have given you a job, bro. They should have given you a gig so that we could have had some Travis Sigler stuff in Rings of Power. Can you talk about
you
that
remember
process?
Me trying to contact for years, right?
Yes, I do. I remember, and again, like that tenacity and grit that you have of just like, no, man, I know my quality and I know what I do is good. And you might have a bunch of people trying to get your attention, but you should pay attention to me. And again, I think it's the reason you've been successful in what you've done. And it's not without sweat, blood, and tears and all that, but it's, I think it's only greater because of that effort. But, I don't know if you want to talk about the show at all, or maybe you could even just talk about like, how much work you have to put into, like you said, like, building contact with people who put stuff that you create like on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there's Jack. Sorry, I'm looking at Ez's like scroll. That was his Snape with and there's my buddy Zach who just left about an hour ago. He was at Weird. Surprise visit for this weekend. So anyway,
dude, sorry, how fun, man.
Yeah, the Jon Snow cosplayer there.
Yeah.
So cool.
So you were scrolling over. Sorry, Lane. What was your question? One more time.
No, I was just talking about that Rings of Power. When you were working really hard to try and get there, did you ever hear back from them? Like, what was the? We never really kind of heard any kind of resolution on that.
I still haven't heard. I never heard anything back.
Man, isn't that crazy,
unfortunately,
dude?
It was. I know a lot of people. Like for a second there, Ez was highlighting, I think I saw a picture of Stan sitting at the bar here. He was here like a month or two ago. For anybody listening, he plays Victor Crumb in Harry Potter.
Oh, wow.
You know, he and I have been like texting like almost daily and giving each other like motivation boosts, you know, and he's planning on coming back here soon. But I recently hit the gym. So I've been going to the gym five days a week.
We've noticed.
Seven.
We've seen, baby. We've seen that.
Yeah. So I started week seven, but so Stan gave me his whole entire breakdown of his workouts and stuff like that, and his food, and like I'm following it as like close to a T as I can. And I tell you, when I say it's brutal.
Yeah.
But I'm pushing forward. I'm still going. But so Stan is like, you know, constantly giving the up boost. Like he's calling me out on his Instagram. He's like, day three, let's go. You know, like that kind of stuff. And
that's awesome.
Gym buddies. You need a gym partner for sure. Like even if they're not looking with you or whatever, that's what that is. Accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep. Accountability. And I've had a few different friends of mine actually recently being like, I've been seeing your gym posts and it's like super motivational. I'm getting back into it and stuff. I'm like, I'm honestly just getting into it too, but I'm glad that it's giving you boosts, you know?
Yeah,
so I think what it comes down to, especially like going back to like the, you know, the Rings of Power thing and like still following, you know, you talk to a lot of people, you got to know people in the industry. And like, you know, I'm always kind of the belief that like, it'll eventually work out, you know?
Yeah.
I look back to all these stories, like you were talking about with Peter being the underdog and like, you know, just, and you got to put it in perspective of like, when we first started this idea for Weird, for example, you know, look at where we are now. Look at what's on the horizon, you know. you hear all these different artists and stuff who are like 20, 30 actors, like all that kind of stuff. And they're in this, you know, given, or if you're reading the memoirs of their life and stuff, and you're like, wow, they eventually, like after like 20 years, they eventually got to where they are, or 10 years or whatever it is. So for me, that has always been the, you know, I'm always thinking end game, and eventually it will all work out and get there, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, I'm the kind of person to where I'm always like, what's next, right? You know, so, you know, we're here now. We've got this immersive tavern. We've got the mead. We've got an amazing community, amazing audience, like reach and everything like that. And basically it's, you know, now I'm like, okay, I want property. I want land. I want to create an immersive outside experience for people. I want a Hobbit Hole Airbnb. I want people to come stay at this Hobbit Hole, visit another, like maybe another mead hall spot.
Is that how you're trying to get me out there? Is that the long game? Trying to get Lane Smith out there?
Well, if you come and stay at like a Hobbit Hole Airbnb, and then you get a tour of like a meadery warehouse, and you go walk through the woods and like Hobbiton. Like, I want to create that. You know, I want immersive experience, and I want people, you know, they can maybe still come to this actual physical location too, but like, you know, I want to have apiaries, I want to have bees, there's all these different things, and you know, for me, that's always the next thing, right? You know, and you know, we'll get there. Like, it's just a matter of time, right?
Right.
And my leather work will get there, you know. But you know, you just gotta stay true to your core, like you were saying a minute ago with your guys' podcast. Like, you know, you want to make you want to keep following your passion, keep following those dreams, and stay true to it. And if you know, you got to stay, what were you saying? Make sure you're having fun.
I think
that's definitely kind of the core element of it.
Yep.
But yeah.
Dude, you guys, the uppers over here on just online, just, you know, they could sit and listen to this all night. Like when I gave it's like, we're going on 4 hours, and they were like, dude, like push it to five, Ez. You know, push it to five. And
yeah,
I'm like,
the comment.
It's so crazy because, you know, Travis, we had you on at the end. We had a bunch of callers. We started early, you know, because for us it's like almost midnight. But it's funny because I looked over here, and normally, you know, Lane and I do 2-3 hour episodes sometimes. I looked at the SD card and I was like, no way we're going to hit. You know, I'm like, I looked at the time. I was like, we'll be fine, you know. And I thought I had 4 hours on it, and I just looked at it, and it was like, you know, it's like, and so everyone's on here, they're like, what's the countdown, Ez, if you check the time?
I want to have
Travis back on for like on the video, like we get on like Lane, where you're at home, and we do like a whole, because this is a different kind of format for us, but we have him on here, and we could do, you know, maybe even some actual thoughts on Rings of Power next time or something, or have him on for our review or something on a Thursday night. I don't know. I know you're busy on Thursdays, but
let's get something else. We'll do this again this fall, because this has been amazing. I'd love to keep talking, and I need a few more minutes to get my, not a few minutes, like days to get, because I've almost got it narrowed down, but I've got a poem I want to read too, that's like a Tolkien poem.
Oh,
that
guys,
I think that would be really cool. I think it'd be awesome, an awesome
Travis,
format
would,
for us to
yeah think, w- yeah. Would you be down to do like a basically, like we call it like a moment in Middle Earth? We could also pair that kind
of. That would be awesome.
Like we all bring a moment or a poem or something Tolkien, and it's just really like, that we could do that on. Well, we could actually do that on StreamYard.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking about tonight too. So
that
I have some favorite poems. I have some Tolkien poetry and like that kind of stuff already prepared and ready to go. So
okay, sick. That would be great, because we could do a full episode on that. Then we could actually just, you know, because this is going to be at the end of probably a 3-hour and 45-minute episode. This is going to be at the
end. How much
Yeah.
How much time is left on the card? Could we do like one? Could we do one of the poems now, and lead into the next time?
Yeah,
we,
if you guys want
we
to,
record
we got
together.
Just over 7 minutes. I'm trying to give us a 1 minute buffer so we don't run out. But yeah, we got about 6-7 minutes. Yeah. If you guys want.
What do you got, Lane?
I don't have a I don't have a poem ready. What do you have? Can you share one? Would you share one?
Yep. I already got it going.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right. I sit beside the fire and think of all that I've seen of meadow flowers and butterflies in summers that have been, of yellow leaves and gossamer in autumns that were, with morning mist and silver sun and wind upon my hair. I sit beside the fire and think of how the world will be when winter comes without a spring that I shall never see. For still there are so many things that I have never seen. In every wood, in every spring, there is a different green. I sit beside the fire and think of people long ago and people who will see a world that I shall never know. But all the while I sit and think of times there were before, I listen for returning feet and voices at the door. There you go.
Dang.
Wow, beautiful. As I'm sitting around a fire, I think, dude, how often do you sit by a fire?
It's a Bilbo Baggins song. So.
Yeah. And how often do you sit by a fire like Bilbo and your mind wanders to the things that you wonder about that you'll never, I think about that all the time, dude. I think about that
all the time
all the
for
time.
Me. Yep.
God, about like the echoes that go on before us and beyond us. And, mm-hmm. Oh, dude, that's unreal, man. I love too, because sometimes when those songs and poems hit in the story, like you kind of like, especially when we're covering a chapter or something, we kind of like gloss over them, but we're like, okay, yeah, they almost deserve, I think that's a great idea to give it its own episode to like sit and think about the words in those poems and songs, because they're their own stories in their own right. Like he literally, the layers that he gave us, the relatability he plops in there is, it's just unlike anything else, man. It's biblical. It's biblical.
Yeah. It makes you like, we often, one of the reasons we started sort of our Moments in Middle Earth or our Night Breeze kind of segments is because it's that idea of just being, you know, up late, sitting by a fire, thinking, being out in nature. And so this actually kind of strikes a chord in terms of like being like perfectly relatable to that, what we've been feeling, you know, after we did the reread, we've been covering the show and different things, you know, when Lane and I come back, it's this like moment. It actually feels like that when you just read that, it felt like, you know, either you're at your like the mead hall or afterwards and you're out somewhere with some friends, you're sitting around the fire, or you alone are sitting there, right? This is, I sit beside the fire and think and thinking about, you know, time beyond yourself and everything. It's like, it's trippy and it's really, I don't know, it makes you go inward a little bit, and I almost could see myself sitting out there. So I would love, I mean, I would again love to do a full kind of standalone thing where we sit down and we just start the whole show off with something like this. And I think it's been a hit. I mean, every time we've done some Moment in Middle Earth or whatever, people are like, this is like the old, it's sparking the old fire again. It's getting you back into Middle Earth. It's getting you kind of just those feels. And it as you read it, Travis, and you read it beautifully, I was sort of like, wow. Mm-hmm. I got chills. And
I'm like,
that's kind of, yeah, we need a whole, we all got to bring our own thing.
Yeah.
And sort of like all three of us are sitting by the fire. That would be sick. Because Travis, we just wanted to kind of catch it. It's been so long. You know, we wanted to catch up and just get you on here and start talking. And, you know,
I'm sorry I hijacked everything. I didn't think
it's great. I
think I was going to ask so many questions either. I think to myself too, I don't know that we've ever had an episode where we sat down, and I think when we recorded before, we were talking about, God, I can't even remember what it was. It's been like years, hasn't it? We were talking about a chapter or something. It was like a content focused thing. And I was like, we need a moment to
get
like
to know
feature Travis, and because we admire you so much. And
so many people ask us questions about the mead hall, and we get a lot of like, people, is that still a thing? And you just saw Bobby out there, for crying out loud. Like, so there's so many, I think, cool connections to your hall and what you're doing in your community. And then all the other connections that you have, it's just like, this for me, I might even, I was going to ask Lane afterwards, I might even just pull out this track, because to post three hours and 45 minutes, it's like, I might actually just pull this out as a standalone thing and do like a separate outro once I get the memory card straightened out. Do like an outro for our Hobbit hotline, and then just do maybe like a little intro and fade into our talking and fade back out, because I want people to know, you know, Travis and what he's been doing. I don't want to bury it at the end of an episode. I kind of was, you know,
feature.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, I think that would be probably a little bit better. Yes. And then we can kind of get back and the moment Middle Earth, man, having, you know, Travis there for that and just laying down some, just getting immersed again in Tolkien every time. It just gets me fired up, man. Right. It just gets the wheels going. So,
well, and I'm excited about the Red Book too, Lane.
And I'm
the radio drama. Like,
yes, I'm pumped, man. And I'm so glad you're gonna play a role. And the other thing too is there's more if you enjoy it, because I know that you've done this before. You've done voice acting before. You played Fëanor, right? If I'm not mistaken.
It was just a small thing for my friend's
just a
album.
Small
yeah.
thing. Okay. Well, I remember listening to the recording and thinking like, holy shit! I didn't know Travis could do that as well. But like, I mean, the cool thing about the radio drama,
he can do everything, dude. This guy can do everything.
Dude, he can. I was just going to say, like, the radio drama is going to have – I mean, I was talking about it before we got on, actually when we were talking to Aaron, because Aaron was the first one who, before we even announced it was a radio drama, because I kind of, like, put the scripts on of talking Tolkien and stuff and teased that we were kind of working on it. I mean, it started as, like, an overarching thing a couple of years ago, right? A couple of years ago with the whole, like, season outlines. And slowly turned into this. And then before we announced that it was going to be a radio drama, Aaron emailed us and was like, hey, I don't know what you guys are working on, but I would like to be a part of it. What, you know, how do I go about that? And so anyway, all that to say, there's going to be like a call for auditions, and the more people that have been a part of like the podcast and the people we've gotten to know and stuff that can bring these characters to life, for me, the better, because it's, you know, there's hidden talent all over the place. There's just because you're not a professional at something doesn't mean that you aren't gifted at something, right? And I just think to myself, so anyway, Noah's a start. I think I would love to have you play another role if you wanted, because I'm planning for like three seasons of this as well. So I'm glad you're excited too. I'm amped. I mean, I can't believe, I mean, Ez knows, because I was talking to Ezra when I was thinking about even writing scripts, and he's like, bro, he said, don't stem it. He said, just go. Yeah. He said, Keep going, go. And then I was like, man, I kind of want to, because Matthew Johnson, longtime listener too, he was like, so when's the radio drama coming? And to that point I was like, what the? And then I was like, no, okay, why not? Let's write some scripts. Let's actually beat it out and see what can happen. And then I had to start asking people, I was like, God, hi, this is Lane. Would you like to bring this character to life? And would you like to work on music? And would you like to, is there any way you'd want to contribute art to this? Like, I had to ask all these people, and every single person, to their credit, not to mine, to their credit, said, yeah, this is an adventure I want to go on. And so to me, this is like my own little, selfishly, this is like my own little way of creating for us like a simulation of what I imagine it would have been to like be a part of that team, you know, in our own way. Like, cause I think like, of course we would make a radio drama. Like, we're a podcast. That makes sense. We're not going to make a movie. We're not going to make we're not going to write a book. It's going to be something that you can listen to. And like, everyone who I've talked to has been excited, and they enjoy it enough. And I can't believe the compliments I've gotten. I can't believe the response and like the excitement to it. I was really nervous about that at first, but it's amazing. And I believe in it, and to see other people believe in it and be excited to do it. I mean, you got like Mike Charles, like sending me accents he's working on and the voice for Ben Galpsey. You got Matthew Johnson, who's like, he wanted to connect with Fastred. So he's written like a backstory, like for him to work backwards and to know like where Fastred came from, how he met Eleanor, like why they fell in love. Macy, who's playing Eleanor, she asked me early on, she's like, is there any kind of music? She's like, I connect with music. Is there any kind of music that you were listening to when you were thinking of Eleanor or writing Eleanor? So I created like a playlist for her to listen to. Rebecca Rovney, the violinist, right? Who, she was like, you know, I was having trouble.
Yep.
Yeah. She was like, I was having trouble at first. And then I thought like, I need to find Arwen through my violin, through my, like through my form of art. And she played, Aniran and like connected with Arwen that way and found the character. So it's just, it's crazy. Like that's the kind of stuff I hoped would happen. And it's been unreal. It's just been unbelievable. So yeah, I'm glad you're excited, man. I'm glad that you're on board. And I think that that character is perfect for you. I literally sat and I was starting to think about like some of these characters who I would ask to play. And I'm like, the dude who's making a leather, like breastplate jerkin, it's gotta be Travis. It's gotta be Travis. Like,
yeah.
It would be criminal to ask anyone else to play that role. So I'm very excited, dude.
How are we doing, Ez?
We're doing good. Full disclosure. So people notice something. They're like, Ez said 6 minutes ago, right? And someone said that. So Liam said 500 IQ move as like, I basically said, you know, I told the guys less time because I knew for a fact that we would get to that. That would have happened. And I was like, if you go back, I think Lane, and I love Lane. It's cool. It's a new connection between he and Travis. And, you know, so technically we still have like another like eight to 10 minutes, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
So we're still good. But I knew it.
So we have
15? What's that?
So we have 15.
Yeah. again, my bad. Normally I have hours. Normally I have a 128 gig SD card.
This has never happened, Travis.
It's never ever been that we've ever ran out of memory space on the SD card. But it's just like it's funny to me because this is what we do. You know, we just you get a little beer in the throat, you get a little mead in the throat, and you just start rolling, talking to your friends. It's great. And I knew like it's passionate fans, people who are like friends, and there's all this history, and like we don't get a chance to really sit down and connect. Stanley's over here, like, keep going to the very last second, Ez. Give us that countdown. Stanley is wanting us to take it to the very end, which I'm afraid that it would corrupt the file.
The file would be corrupted,
and I'd lose 3 hours and 100%. 55 minutes now. Like, I'd be like, oh, my God, you know. But anyways, no, that's why we're going to just do the little thing, and we're gonna have Travis back on for sure, because this is a conversation that needs to keep going, and like, it's, you know, one thing I want to get back out there. I would love to have one Travis out to Ohio. I would love for us to get out there at some point and go back. Like, Lottie and I had such a good time. We had Matt's wedding the same time I was out there with Travis. Otherwise, there was like a couple nights where we were like, should we just go back and see Travis? Because Lottie had such, you know, weddings have pressure sometimes. There's all this like things you have to do. And even Matt was sort of like, you know, he didn't really like the pressure of his own wedding. He was sort of like, wish we could just do it, you know, this way or whatever. So we're sitting there one night. I'm sort of like, man, let's just go back over to see Travis. Then I felt like, you know, we're here for this wedding. So, you know, and Matt would have been like, go, dude, go have a great time. But,
he probably wanted to come, but you guys,
you know. Yeah,
you guys are always welcome out here. If you guys ever did like fly out here or whatever, why not? We could literally, even while everything's closed up, we could sit beside the fire. You guys could record a podcast episode. We could do whatever.
Oh, man,
you know?
Come on,
let's freaking do it like that. We might need a getaway, dude. You know, like a little.
I think we might
just hop
I think
out
we
there
might.
On a long weekend or something.
A quick little trip, right. You know.
Take a day off of work, maybe. You know,
cash that personal day in.
I know it's real tempting.
Come on.
And now we are officially at 4 minutes. Just so you guys know.
Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. So we don't lose anything, and we'll do this again very soon. We won't let like another 16 months, 2 years, whatever, go by. We'll do it in the next few weeks or months or whatever, like a month at the most.
Yeah, October. Sure. I'm thinking
if we put it on for a month, like just get it on the calendars, you know. Yeah. And I'm totally down. Like, we can have more poetry chats, we can read poems, we can do fireside tales, whatever you guys are talking and thinking about.
Yeah, we need to do this because I didn't even, this just got buried. I didn't even ask you about Sasquatch. I absolutely need to ask you about Bigfoot. 100%.
Sasquatch?
I need, yes.
Oh, yeah. Because it's Oregon. Yeah. He's around.
Right.
He's around.
And I'm sure, I want to know if you've had any encounters. So don't tease me with anything yet. Just I want to imagine in my mind you've had an encounter, and I want to know because.
Yeah, Travis knows the guy. He knows the guy.
Do I believe? Yeah, I believe. I do. I believe my favorite podcast of all time is called Sasquatch Chronicles, and it's from a guy, Wes Germer, who's out there in he's either in Seattle or Oregon. I can't remember. I can't remember what I almost said. Washington, Seattle. What a dumbass. It's something. I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, I want your thoughts on Sasquatch as well, because it's kind of, you know, it's mythical. It's a little Tolkienian, you know, a wild beast out there.
fumble.
Some meat just broke. Uh-oh.
No.
Come on now.
No. You guys are not. Dude.
Haunted?
A cup just fell off the freaking counter in front of me.
As Lane's talking about Sasquatch, haunted, come on.
Like, I legit, like, there's a whole entire haunted article. I didn't mean to cut you off, Lane.
No.
That's freaking weird. Like, it just literally fell. I'm sitting at a table, and the bar is over there, and I just watched the freaking, the cup just fall.
Oh, my God. I got chills, bro. I just got chills. Oh yeah, okay.
The ghosty is super friendly. There's a whole haunted article. I'll send it to you guys.
1 minute, 45 seconds.
I didn't mean to cut you off. It just startled the hell out of me.
No, dude, that's like, I think maybe that's Sasquatch reaching out to us, you know, teleportation. We're gonna talk, we're gonna read poems, and then we're getting to weird stories. Because Ez has some crazy, some UAP stuff, he's got some Bigfoot stuff. We'll get into the old annals of weird. I've got the old hag sat on my chest once. It was a sleep paralysis thing. It was, I thought I was going to die. So we'll get into that. We'll do some, dude, let's schedule around like a Halloween time.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it in October. Let's do it in October when we're feeling spooky.
Yep.
Okay.
1 minute, awesome. 6 seconds, boys. 1 minute, 6 seconds.
Okay. Wrap it up, Ez. Take us home, baby.
Hey, all right. Travis, thanks so much. We got the links down in the description for you. We're gonna have you back and everything. We've already got people who have ordered mead live on the show while we were doing this, so that's pretty sick. Thanks, Steven and everybody out there who was checking it out. But yeah, we'll be back. We're at 44 seconds. I mean, this is gonna go down in lore as one of the like countdown to the end of the SD card episodes. I've never, ever, ever done this before. So at 30 seconds, I'm going to hit the end here. You guys can stay on the phone with me for a second. I just got to hit
30 seconds.
30 seconds. I got to hit the record button.
Let this be the hour when we draw swords together. We're going to ride right into Mordor, you guys.
Oh, my God. We're at 21. Okay, I'm
cast it into the fire.
I'm quick to record. Love you. I love you guys.
And oh, no.
You guys stay on here. Oh, my Lord. Okay, and remember that Travis lives. He lives out in Oregon, and he works at a meat shop, and it's great. Okay.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.